Chapter 37. Operation Spandex might have been big news in Chicago, and it might have been big news in Springfield, but in Hickman County it hardly made a ripple. After all, this was Illinois, where corrupt governors and corrupt government officials were a way of life. They were expected to be out there, plotting and stealing and covering up and even murdering. The job of the United States Attorney for the Northern District of Illinois, the first duty at the top of every Northern District U.S. Attorney's list, was to investigate the sitting governor and his party ties and mob ties. It's not that the ties are a surprise to anyone, it's just that the feds try to keep it toned down as much as possible, so the only people getting hurt are the people on the inside. For the most part, the little guy goes about his business and ignores the whole mess. Who knows? In 4 years, another new face will appear as the old one is carted off to prison. Maybe the new one will be honest. Or, really, maybe the new one will be less dishonest. That's about what is expected in Illinois politics. It's the most that can be hoped for. From the relative calm of his law office, Thaddeus read the story of Operation Spandex in the online Chicago Tribune. The governor and attorney general had been indicted by the U.S. attorney, and everyone was lawyering up. Statements were being issued and denials were flying through the air like snowflakes in January. Arrests had been made the day after Pauline Pepper testified in Hickman County in the Ermeline Ransom prosecution. The news articles didn't say that, but Thaddeus put two and two together, and he wondered if calling the FBI agent and getting her admissions before the jury had accelerated the speed at which the indictments were handed down and arrests made. After all, once she testified, the buggy phones had suddenly gone dead. Nobody was talking to anybody in offices or homes, and the cell phones were not ringing. The investigation was as good as over once she had spilled the beans in Hickman County Court, and Thaddeus, in some small way, was glad he had helped to bring it all to a head. The murder of Victor Harrow and the politics and greed behind that never made it into the national or statewide news reports. It was still just local news, and the trial was just a small local trial in Podunk. Nobody much outside the county gave a damn, and that was fine with Thaddeus. He had noticed, however, an uptick in new clients, and his bank account was slowly growing fatter. Hector Ransom had been indicted by Quentin Orrin Jr.'s grand jury, along with Johnny Bladani, for a conspiracy to commit murder, attempted murder, obstruction of justice, tampering with evidence, racketeering, and a whole laundry list of related charges. Johnny hadn't been arrested yet, but that would come. It would be 100 years before he again saw the light of day, which made Thaddeus happier than anything that had happened, except, of course, Ermeline's return to her family and her job, and her innocent way of life. She had never hurt anyone, and never would. That just wasn't who she was, and never had been.